I think a lot of people are going to be happy when this upcoming election is over. You know, election season has a way of bringing a lot of divisions to the surface. And, you know, I think in this election, the tension that we've seen is more than just the usual attack ads. You know, I think there's something deeper going on. And I think it's a valid question to ask, you know, why is there so much tension within our society? And it plays out in the media with the, you know, the vicious attacks in the media, and it also spills out into other areas of society. And, you know, it's underlying fundamental differences in people's values that are surfacing. And I think that's what causes a lot of the contention between family members and friends and coworkers. But one of the differences that we're facing now is actually a clash in values between traditional Christian values that our nation was founded upon and progressivism, which has been rising and spreading through our country for quite a few years now. But when we look at the origin of our country, you know, our country was founded upon traditional Christian values. And, you know, if we look at our founding fathers, George Washington, for example, he said that religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society. And so our society is established upon religion and morality. You know, to have a free society, you need people who are religious and moral and will use their freedom well. And so if that foundation is eroded, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that there's going to be a lot of tension and discord that comes about. But what we see with progressivism is not just that it's a different value system, but it's one that's actually opposed to Christian values. And that's why, in many ways, we see so much tension. You know, just one example of that is, you know, Christianity believes that parents are the first teachers of their children. Whereas in progressivism, if there's ideologies that they want to teach children, it doesn't matter what parents think. They want to be able to teach those regardless of parental rights. And so there's a lot of areas where there's conflict. And, you know, we do see this in, you know, the political debate. We see it in the media. But it's even spilling out into violence within our society. You know, we've seen in recent years many, many churches and pregnancy centers that have been firebombed and attacked. You know, the U.S. bishops put out a report. Within the past 4 years, there have been 349 Catholic churches in our country that have been the victims of either arson or vandalism. And that excludes motives other than hostility to the Catholic Church. So that's 349 churches. And even the FBI was caught going after the Catholic Church, spying on the church and trying to infiltrate Catholic parishes in a counterterrorism operation, which is absolutely crazy. But what we see is increasingly religion and Christianity are viewed as the obstacle to change and to, quote, progress. And so that's why I think we're seeing so much of the tension that we're seeing. And hopefully in this election, we'll choose leaders that respect the value of religion and religious freedom as the pillar of society. But at the same time, you know, the disorder that we see in society and all the chaos around us should give us a deeper hope for the kingdom of God. Because everything that's wrong with the world is what's right with the kingdom that Jesus Christ inaugurated, the kingdom of God. You know, and so as much as we get uncomfortable or don't like discord around us, what is the solution to that? Well, it means turning towards the kingdom of God. You know, within the kingdom of God, there's perfect unity among the saints. You know, there's no difference in values because there's perfect unity within the truth. You know, the truth is fully revealed. And no one in the kingdom of God is going to act selfishly for their own interests at somebody else's expense. You don't have to worry about that. You can have complete trust that everybody around you is willing to do what's necessary for your good. And so there's a perfect community of charity. And what Jesus taught the apostles today, you know, in terms of the kingdom of God, you know, leadership in the kingdom of God, being a shepherd, and it also applies to all of us. It isn't about selfish ambition. You know, James and John, one of the spots that Jesus left and right, and then the other apostles were mad at them for asking this question. You know, Jesus says to them, the kingdom of God is not about ambition. It's about how you're willing to place yourself at the service of others. And the ones who are the greatest are the ones who are willing to sacrifice the most for the sake of others around them. And so when we look at Jesus Christ, you know, he is the King of Kings. He is the epitome of authority rooted in goodness. You know, someone who uses the position that he has, you know, as the King of Kings, not for his own motives, but for our sake. You know, he rules by self-sacrifice on the cross. He came that we might have life and have it to the full. And so he gives us the perfect example of what life is like in the kingdom of God. And he also gives an example to parents, you know, not to rule over your families for selfish purposes, but to sacrifice yourself for the good of your spouse, for the good of your children, always doing what's best for their authentic good. And he's an example for business leaders or teachers or principals or judges, you know, not to use the authority and the position that they're given selfishly, but to put themselves humbly at the service of others. And it's also an example for our government leaders to use the authority that they've been given for the service of others. You know, this world is never going to be perfect. You know, it's always going to fall short of the ideal. But the kingdom of God, when it comes to fulfillment, is the perfection that we desire. When we see things that are wrong and we know that it's wrong, where do we find what is right and what is true and what is perfect? It's in the kingdom of God. And in this life, the closer we come to Christ and the more we embrace his teachings, like the teaching on humility that we learn in today's gospel, and the more that we turn towards him, the closer we're going to come to the ideal. And so what can we do to bring about greater unity? Well, it begins in our families and in our parish, you know, which is, you know, a small piece, a microcosm of the church, the kingdom of God. And so each one of us has the opportunity to make the choice to embrace our role to sacrifice for others within our families and within our parish and our local communities. And so if we put ourselves and our gifts and our talents and our concern and our focus on serving others, then what we'll see is that the goodness of God and his kingdom will flourish within our families and within our local communities. And as that happens, the church as a whole will get stronger and stronger. You know, the church in this world is filled with imperfect people. And even within the church, we'll see problems and issues. But at the same time, the church in this world is the beginning of what will be fulfilled as the church in glory. And the kingdom will come in its fullness. But we all have a small part to play in cooperating with God's plan now so that his goodness can flourish. And so I encourage us, you know, rather than getting discouraged or fed up with the tension and discord around us, especially during an election year, I encourage us to see it as an opportunity to rediscover the greatness of the kingdom of God and the unity that that brings about, and to encourage us to do what we can do in order to commit ourselves more fully to that within our families and within our parish. And the more that we do that, you know, the more that we sacrifice for our families and for our parish, the stronger the church will become, and it will become more and more visible as a light to the nations.